Good morning. Welcome in to the front porch on this Thursday. It's Brian Marshall Sidebottom the first.
That's right.
Along with Ken Cummins, the legend.
And as we always say, in my own mind is where that legend comes from. But nevertheless, at least it's there, right?
There you go.
Well, it's according to the National Weather Service, we're supposed to have a little reprieve in this hot weather.
I'll take it.
I'll be glad when we really have that first, that one day of autumn we usually have a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes right to winter.
Yeah.
And then that one day of spring and it goes right to summer.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think we're in for just a little opportunity here to have some little autumn weather. That'd be nice. That's my favorite time of year. True autumn.
Yes, my favorite too. I love it.
And do you rake leaves? You like to do that?
I do not like raking leaves. The good thing about my yard, I get very little leaves because I have no trees.
Well, I'll be.
Yeah.
Well, I have trees, but I have what's called wind.
And this blows it on the neighbor.
Over to the neighbors, and I say, here, I don't say I never didn't give anything.
That's it. That's how you do it.
That's not how it works. Actually,
No.
I actually mulch them.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, it works really nice, and the wind does take care of a lot of it, but the neighbor doesn't get them. There's nobody around to get them. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, good morning to you. Glad that you're listening to The Front Porch. And as we have opportunity, don't forget that any Front Porch broadcast that you hear is now available in the form of a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, you can get it on CarPlay. You can get it anywhere that you get your podcast. You just go, whatever. Wherever you get your podcast, it's there. And you'll be able to listen to it. And through the app, in order for you to really to enjoy the full experience, get your app. Remember, wherever you get it, rather for your Android or your Apple device, if you type in call letters, you're going to be very unhappy because you won't find it.
Won't find it.
But if you'll type in two words, Missionary Radio, you'll be a happy camper.
Yeah, two words. Those
are two words, mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
And then you'll be able to, again, if you want to pick up on the podcast, a previous Front Porch broadcast, just go to missionary.radio. Missionary.radio, top of the menu bar, it says podcast.
That's it.
Yeah. Have you been there?
I have. I've checked it out a time or two.
And just to see if you're there, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I've checked it out a time or two. As a matter of fact, Andrew, I think, sent me a nice picture the other day of his radio.
CarPlay,
and it looked really nice on there.
Yeah, so there.
Yeah.
That's what I'm telling you, that you can get it. And so you said, man, I really want to hear that episode again, or I missed it, an episode of The Front Porch or Ministry Spotlight. It's there in Andrew's mm-hmm. broadcast that he does Wednesday mornings at 8:30. Well, you can go out on demand and listen to it at your leisure.
There you go.
And we hope that you will. And also to share that with a friend. And we have ceased and desist and completed and not to do it again. We do not mail out CDs.
No.
That day is over.
It's high.
It has officially had its last day.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you can also download those. You can do what you want.
Yes.
And so they're available online, missionary.radio. All right. Well, it's Thursday morning, and we're here, and you're there, so we're going to have a good time. How's that?
Sounds good to me.
It'll work for me. At Missionary Radio, every song, every scripture, every word of encouragement you hear is made possible by you. We're not funded by commercials. There's no big corporation writing checks. It's friends like you, listeners who love Jesus and want others to know Him, who keep this ministry going. Right now, giving is down, and our next carathon isn't until October, but the need is real today. If this station has blessed your life, if it's helped you through a tough day, drawn you closer to Christ, or filled your home with peace, would you prayerfully consider stepping in right now? You're not just giving to a station. You're giving so hope can be heard 24 hours a day. Go to missionary.radio, click on donate, or mail your gift to P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241. Missionary Radio, sharing the love of Jesus because He's worth it.
Welcome back to the front porch on this Thursday.
Well, I didn't go anywhere, did you?
No, I'm still sitting right here.
But you're welcome to be back. I didn't go anywhere. Well, I mean, I've been sitting looking at you.
I know.
But I appreciate the welcome, well, Brian.
I just want to make really, you welcome.
Your Southern hospitality is charming.
Well, I try. So I try.
Oh, yes. We are glad that you are listening to The Front Porch. It is the morning show from 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio. We are your community station, and we lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, and we do appreciate you. Now, you may have noticed that I said there on that announcement about that our next fundraiser isn't to our traditional carathon, which is the 7th, 8th, and 9th of October, to be precise. But we have needs that are now. And so I want to thank you that have stepped up and have given extra, you that have said, I want to step up and help. Well, this would be a great time to join us in this community effort, this worldwide effort here with Christian Radio, that we are funded here in the listening community by the you. And you are our source of income. We do not have any hidden endowments or hidden big pocket, deep pocket friends. We have those that, like you, like me, that have the resolve to keep Christian Radio, local Christian Radio, not piped in from Nash Vegas or any other place, but right here where you are, lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ on mission with you. So, how to respond? Go to missionary.radio, missionary.radio. You click on donate and you use your debit or credit card. It is safe and it is secure. If you choose to use the mail, now, quite frankly, my post office friends, I'm proud of you, but I'll be frank with you. I'm trying to guide people away from you because we have had checks lost and one that still hasn't gotten there, and we had to reissue several. And then bills we paid, and they said you didn't pay them. So we're just about going all digital here. And so, but we will continue, as long as you, our listening family, use the post office, we will continue to do so. And here's how to do it. Send it to Missionary Radio, P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, 42241. Okay? That's P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, 42241. And we do appreciate it. P.O. Box 1029 has been that way forever. And if you forget any of those, that bit of information, it's available at missionary.radio. Now, one of the most asked questions, I think, in the Christian walk is this. What is God's will for my life? You ever asked that question, Brian Marshall Sidebottom?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
Wait a minute, I didn't get your name complete. The first.
First, or, yeah. Make sure you get it right.
Yeah, I need to get things correct.
I mean, that's just...
Yeah, we got to get things right here. Now back to the question. Have you ever asked, what is the will of God for my life?
Yeah, I could say I would say yes.
Well, I hope so, because we ask those questions or that question when we're choosing a career. Maybe you're in the process saying, Lord, who's my future husband or wife? And please... Yes, they're your partner, but we still believe in husband and wives here.
Yes.
And so we're not going to call them partner or anything like Mm-mm. that.
No.
We believe what the Bible says.
That's right.
And that you should, before you're living together, you should have the benefit of marriage.
That's it.
You said, I'll turn you off. Well, take it up with the Bible.
That's it.
That sounds rather harsh, doesn't it?
Well,
it doesn't.
No. I mean, you know.
I can guarantee you that it's the will of God.
That's it.
I'm not going to digress here much, but I read on social media, you know, that place that's definitely the next thing to Scripture.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I read there people mm-hmm. to say, God sent me my partner.
Yeah.
And they're not married and they're living together. No, he mm-hmm. didn't.
No.
No, he does not set it up for you to live together.
Mm-mm. No.
I know that's not the will of God. Well, that I will say.
You know, one thing, my middle child, 13, I gave her a purity ring back several months ago. Well, mm-hmm. actually for her birthday.
Sure.
You know, and we explained to her what this purity ring's about. And, you know, that's to save yourself for marriage. You know, and that's what we're supposed to do as a Christian, is save ourselves until marriage. But, you know— A lot of people now think, well, it's just all right to live together.
Right.
And you go to church.
We got to try it out first.
And everything like that. And that's not biblical at all.
Yeah, I see it all the time, and they'll say, "Oh, God has just blessed me." I'm thinking, "Yeah, God loves you."
Yeah,
but anyway, let me move from that.
Okay.
But God's will is not to be a mystery hidden in the clouds. I will say that.
True.
Because God wants you to know His will more than you probably and I want to accept it. So it's revealed through His Word, as has been always taught, especially from the study experiencing God, it's revealed through His Word, it's confirmed by the Holy Spirit, and lived out seriously in daily obedience. I want to turn to Ephesians chapter 5, and there's a passage there where in the book of Ephesians where it's talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit, but right before it says, "Be not drunk with wine, in which is excess, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit," it says what the will of God is, and God makes it perfectly clear in Ephesians 5:17, where it says, "So don't be foolish, but understand what the will of God is."
Mm-hmm.
Don't be foolish, but understand what the will of God is. It also says, therefore, in some versions, therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of God is. Now, that means that God wants us to know His will. So let's talk about that just a bit. Some of this may be a reminder to you. But first of all, the one that is striking to me immediately is this, the nature of God's will. Consider it God's sovereign will, what God has already ordained that will not change. According to the book of Daniel, chapter 4, verse number 35, the Bible says, it reads, "And all the inhabitants of the earth are counted as nothing, and He does what He wants with the army of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth. There is no one who can hold back His hand or say to Him, 'What have you done?' He does according to His will." What that is saying is sovereign will. He's in charge.
Yeah.
No one can stop it.
Mm-hmm.
That's God's sovereign will. The cross of Christ, that's God's sovereign will.
Mm-hmm.
He planned it. He said it would happen, and it did. Though men plotted evil, Acts 2:23 tells us that was determined with the purpose and the foreknowledge of God. And so that is what is called, and I'm just glossing over that because it can go much deeper. But God's sovereign will is the plane that God has set in motion. It will not change. God's sovereign will, then, is what is being said. It cannot be stopped.
Mm-hmm.
So this gives us confidence that history is not spinning out of control. Mm-hmm. I can't understand it. I don't understand God's sovereignty. And quite frankly, I haven't read after a theologian or any other man that could.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
God is in control. And then we get these questions, well, if God is in control and God loves us, while all of these things, these awful things that have happened, like hunger and death and famine and sickness,
mm-hmm.
I cannot explain all that. But I do know this, that the Scripture gives us insight. But to accept it, yes, you must.
Mm-hmm.
To even have peace in knowing mm-hmm. who God is.
Mm-hmm.
To understand that God is God. Does that mean I'm giving Him an excuse? People stumble over this. If God's sovereign will is the cross, why did God? You mean God died? I mean, there's religions that have trouble with that.
Yeah.
God had to die?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Without That's sacrifice, right. There is no forgiveness of sin. And so right. God said, well, they tried the blood of goats and bullocks and bulls and calves and all kinds of things. It didn't work out. What worked out? The blood of His Son.
Could you imagine, Ken, today, if we still had to sacrifice goats and lambs and calves? We would probably be starving to death right now.
Oh, my.
I mean, just think about it.
Think of all the blood.
All the sin and stuff that goes on.
Think of all the blood.
All the blood, yeah.
And all the sacrifices.
Mm-hmm.
And but yet that didn't get it done.
Did not get it done.
You had to keep on doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But praise be to God and His sovereign, precious will.
Amen.
And the precious blood of the Lamb
mm-hmm.
slain before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
And but that is God's sovereign will.
Yes.
Another thing that you can look at is not only God's sovereign will and the nature of his will. How about God's moral will? What he commands all people. We talked about that just a moment ago. We used one example. In 1 Thessalonians 4:3, this is the will of God, your sanctification. All right, what is sanctification? What does that mean? Well, you're justified by faith when you're saved, that you're made innocent by God. And some would say just as if you'd never sinned, but it's a courtroom term. You're guilty to made innocent in God's court of law. And the only way, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, only through Jesus are you justified. Then, as long as you're here on this earth, we're going through a process called sanctification, that is being separated to live holy. And we know this, to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God, Micah 6:8, which is a nice song, but it's a verse of scripture, but it's a nice song too. But anyway, it is God's will that we do just things, that we love mercy, and we walk humbly with our God. God has a moral will. He makes it clear you're not supposed to lie, you're not supposed to steal, you're not supposed to commit adultery. You're not supposed to lust. And we go on and on and on. You said, well, you know, God can. It's kind of a, you know, that's just what boys do. Well, boys, then you're sinning.
You are. You're sinning.
And you need to bring it to Jesus.
That's right.
You don't have to pray, Lord, is it your will for me to forgive? We know that it's God's will for you to, for him to forgive and for you to forgive. Lord, we don't have to pray, Lord, is it your will that I be holy? That's God's will. He has already revealed it in his word. Well, evidently it's your will that I hush.
Well, we got to get into pen from the heart.
Do we got to?
We got to.
Is that your will or God's will?
Well, it's probably my will.
But... okay. Okay.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it.
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Clarksville, I have been an avid listener for many years. From Providence, thank you for being dependable and consistent with your quality programming. We are blessed to be able to tune in daily. From Cunningham, thank you for all that you do. And from Madisonville, thank you for your service of spreading God's love to all of us who listen. Your programs are such an uplift to me.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and penned from the heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
Ba-da, there you go.
Ba-da-da-da-da. Yeah. Walking free.
Walking free.
It makes you want to go out for a walk this morning, doesn't it?
Before it gets hot, yeah.
No, well, you need to wait till you really can, like a sauna effect.
No.
You want the full effect of that, don't you, Brian?
No, no.
Why not?
Have the full effect of that. Let's see. Today's Thursday. Tuesday, yeah. Tuesday, I had to put a mailbox back up for Mom, and it was 97 to 98 degrees.
Did you feel like mailing yourself?
And this fat kid was really sweating.
Really?
I was.
Well, you shouldn't have knocked it off. Your mother wouldn't have made you.
I didn't knock it off, so.
Yeah, your mom would have made you have done that if you haven't been mean and knock it off.
I know. I try to be better.
You couldn't find anything more to pass your time off than knocking over your mom's mailbox?
No. I just thought it was a fun thing to do. No. I mean, believe me, that would not be my cup of tea.
The deal is, why would someone knock some other buddy's mailbox and not tell them?
And not tell them, yeah. Say, hey, you know, I accidentally, or out of meanness, I could see somebody not saying anything.
Or do you want me to fix it? Yes.
Sure.
If they ask me, I said, I sure do. And they sell them wherever, and I'll tell them where to go get them.
That's it.
And they also sell posts, and here's some post-hole diggers if you don't have any.
Yep, that's right.
And bring your concrete with you.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I would do that.
Yeah. If somebody would step forward, that'd be nice. But most of the time, they do not do that. So.
No, they just kind of drive. It's like a drive-by.
Just drive on by.
Huh. Well, that's not a way to get your day started and knock over somebody's post office box.
No.
Okay. Well, we're talking about the will of God today, and just going through it, we've already talked about God's sovereign will, God's moral will, and God, let me just say a little bit more about God's moral will. God does want you to forgive. God does want you to live honestly and upright. Mm-hmm. God does want us to live holy.
Yes.
That is God's will. Now, I opened up the broadcast, if anybody stayed with me after that. We're in an epidemic that I don't understand. It's like marriage is not important, mm-hmm. even among Christians.
Yes.
And I rarely hear someone preach on adultery or fornication. Oh, no. I do not. And I ask myself, do they take that out of the Word of God? No, it's still there, and it's a rampant problem.
It is.
Jesus said, if you even look on a woman to lust after her, that you've committed adultery already.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But yet, no, we endorse it in the church, and, oh, it's okay. Mm-hmm. You just go ahead and live together.
Yep.
That's your partner.
Yep.
Now, no.
Nope.
My animals have partners.
Yes.
I have a wife, and she has a husband.
Mm-hmm.
And she has for 45 years.
Mm-hmm.
Are we have perfect? No. But do we go through the good times and the bad together?
Yes.
The answer is yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Indeed. Isn't that the way the Bible proposes it to be?
That's what it says. That's what it says. You know,
that's his moral will.
Well, sure. I can remember an old-time preacher telling me a story one time, said, when we talk about lust and stuff like that, he put it this way. He said, okay, he said, you drive by a pretty woman that's laying out sunbathing. And he said, you look upon her, but you just keep right on going. But he said, if you really look at her and you drive around the block.
And come around the second time. Or stop and get your binoculars out.
Yeah. Then he said, you've committed lust and sin in your heart.
You purposed it. You looked at it. You purposed and you followed.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I said, that's right. How right could you be? I mean, you know.
As right as weather. Yeah, you, that's it. Yeah, exactly. And God's moral will is that we resist temptation. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you.
Absolutely.
But still we want to join in and accept it and call and say, that's my partner.
Mm-hmm.
Even on TV, on the commercials, you don't hear the language husband and wife.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why do we hear people calling each other humans instead of man and woman or him or her? That human, that person is a good human. No. Brian, if I talk about you, I say that's a good brother, that's a good man.
Sure.
If I talk about my wife, I say she's a fine lady.
Sure.
She's a fine human.
No. No.
We're changing the language to go along to make everybody really comfortable.
Yeah, that's it.
That doesn't change one thing.
All these different words that we're calling people now, and I'm like, they're going, huh? I said, last time I looked.
Abortion, women's reproductive rights.
Yeah.
What about that child that's in the womb? What reproduction right will he or she ever have? No, you're going to go in and kill it.
Yeah, so to never have any decisions to make, you know.
At least not on this earth.
Mm-mm, not on this earth.
All right. So God's moral will. How about God's personal will? His leading. That's the one that people really want to camp out on more than anything else. Mm-hmm. What's he telling me to do? Well, the scriptures that I've been over and over and over, and so have you in many times, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. But Proverbs 3, verse 6 says, "In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." How do you know if God is leading you to do a certain ministry? How do you know?
He calls you.
How do you know that it's maybe God? For example, many years ago, I had an opportunity to go to a real large church and to be a director of a big association. Now that I'm old, people don't even pay attention to me.
Yeah.
But that's back when I was young and important. But I'm serious.
I got you.
I am serious. Have more knowledge than I ever did and probably be better than I ever could be.
Mm-hmm.
But he's too old. Anyway, I feel better. Got that out of my system.
You got that out of your system.
But as a church wanting me as their pastor, there's an association wanting me, And every one of them said, God has led us to you. How am I going to know the difference between what I should do? What do you think?
The Lord will tell you what to do.
How? I want to pull this out of you, Brian Marshall, side bottom the first.
How will he tell you?
How will I know which one to do?
I think he will lead and guide and direct you.
Well, explain yourself.
In your past.
What's that mean? I'm not being hard on you.
But you're putting me on the spot.
No. This is a question I have dealt with as a counselor many times. How do you know? Well, let me help you out while you're digging.
Yeah, help me out.
Well, first of all, you can look around and see the circumstances.
Yeah.
And in the circumstances, I think at some point you use your head. You look at overall and see where you're motivated. And if you're motivated by money, you can count that out.
Well, that's what I was just getting ready to say. If you're motivated by money, then you're definitely going in the wrong direction.
Or if you're looking to yourself, mm-hmm. and for example, that it would make you a more important person,
yeah.
then you might want to rule that out.
Yes.
But what is your motivation, and where do you see signs of God pointing you to? And then I would say go with it. Are you acknowledging him and all of that? And sometimes I think he gives an opportunity on both accounts, and mm-hmm. he says, choose one. And mm-hmm. You need to look at it to see which is the best for the kingdom and the giftings that you have.
Sure.
I really do. Yeah. And you say, well, where would I be better served? Not me, but where would I better serve the Lord? And where the giftings that he's given me, and I will be able to grow.
Yeah.
It wound up in that situation. I didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
I stayed where I was.
Yeah.
And in some cases you don't know, you just say, well, I just got to do it.
Yeah.
And whatever comes what may,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to trust God. Well, that's what you do. In God in Acts chapter 16 is one usually people go to, called the Macedonian call. Paul was forbidden by the Spirit to go to certain places, was later called to Macedonia, and God called him to come on over. Well, God personally leads his children. You're right, Brian, step by step. But we got to take a step in faith.
Yeah.
So I will say that God will not lead you to do something immoral ever.
God will not
lead you to cheat
Mm-mm.
ever.
Mm-mm.
God will not lead you to cut corners ever.
Mm-mm.
God is not going to have you to take the easy path just because that's what you and I want to do ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I will say that if you obeyed God in every single day,
mm-hmm.
in the small things, in the things just that no one else sees but you and God,
mm-hmm.
and you choose God's path every single day, you will know he's leading you.
No, he will.
Those gentle nudges of faith. So how will I know how did I know that God led me here? It involved a lot of people.
Sure.
And circumstances.
Yeah.
It surely did.
Yeah.
How will I know when he's leading me out? I guess when the board of directors says your time is gone.
Well, you know, it's
that's one way I'll know.
Well, you know, I've been here going on 5 years, and
really,
I prayed about it.
I've had that twitch for 5 years.
I know you've had that twitch for 5 years,
yeah.
But you know, as I think about it, you know, I prayed about it, and I said, Lord, I said, is this your will? Is this where you want me to be? And everything just fell right into place.
You mean it was out in space somewhere?
Yeah, out in space.
No, I'm with you.
Right in place.
I got you. All right, Brian Marshall, side bottom the first. I'm Ken Cummins, and you're on the front porch.
Hi, this is Shauna. Welcome to Johnny Erickson Tada Sharing Hope. Well, Johnny, you know, it might be August, but we've got plenty of family retreats still underway.
And Shauna, what I think is amazing is that all of our retreats thus far across the country have totally maxed out. We've even had to turn special needs families away. But your family got in on a family retreat, didn't it?
Oh, my goodness, we sure did. You know, my daughter Sarah, who you know very well and has Down syndrome, boy, I think we've been to 17 family retreats now. She's 20 years old, Johnny. But our very first, she was 5 years old. And I didn't know what she was going to think. But you know what? We got out of the van, and there was a woman dressed like a clown holding a puppet. And I remember Sarah saw that puppet, and you know she thought that thing was real. It was not a puppet. And that was it. She was in love with the whole experience as soon as we got out of the van. And every time we go, summer after summer, God meets us there, Johnny.
Absolutely.
I think I'll post a photo of Sarah with that puppet at her very first family retreat.
Oh, God. That must have been a life-changing experience for you spiritually, right?
Oh, it sure was. You know, I love Jesus every day, but there's something sacred about that ground at family retreat where God just meets us there. And you know very well, everyone calls it a slice of heaven on earth.
It is. And another couple that thinks it's a slice of heaven are Mike and Mary Batis and their seven children, including their daughter, Jessica, who has profound disabilities. They first attended family retreat in 1992, and it wasn't easy because of all of Jessica's supplies and equipment. I mean, just getting there was really daunting. Now, as I said, we only had been running family retreat for a year, so that 1992 retreat was an intimate gathering. I remember because I led the singing. Mike and Mary were able to connect with other moms and dads who were walking that same path of suffering. And Mike recalls with joy how their youngest son, who had always thought he might catch his sister's disability, well, when he saw other typical kids happily hanging out with their disabled siblings, he realized disability wasn't contagious. The fear was gone, and he became so happy, and I gave him the biggest hug for that. So Mike and Mary stayed connected with family retreats and with Johnny and friends. In fact, they got so connected that eventually we invited Mike Batis to serve on our international board of directors. We wanted people who really understood the hardships of disability to be part of our leadership. And as a board member, Mike saw our family retreat program expand dramatically. I mean, this year here in the U.S., we'll hold 63 family retreats and 103 family retreats overseas in impoverished nations, serving thousands.
I love Mike and Mary, and our stories are somewhat similar. You know, family retreat touched me so deeply. I served on the board, and then, of course, I became one of your staff members, still serving today. So blessed.
And we'd love it when special needs families are involved with Johnny and friends as employees. And because God says in Psalm 9, verse 12, that he does not forget the afflicted, oh boy, we sure see that he doesn't forget the afflicted at every family retreat that we hold. And hey, it's not too late, is it, Shauna, to volunteer for retreats that we've yet to hold?
No, I hope our friends listening will visit johnnyradio.org for all the details. And friend, while you're there, we've posted a beautiful quilt that one special needs mom and her friends created, all to help celebrate 35 years of life-transforming family retreats. You can see the quilt for yourself at johnnyradio.org.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's word in 60 seconds. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16:13, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong." There was a lady that broke down in the middle of the desert. As she walked, the heat beat down on her, and her tongue swelled and her lips cracked for no water. She finally sat down and gave up from walking any further. Later, she was found dead from lack of water. The sad thing is, a mile north from her, the way she was walking, was a gas station with water and food, but because she gave up, she died. It's important for us to realize that to give up means death, but to keep on walking, there's still hope. That hope is in Jesus Christ. Call on him right now while today is still called today. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's word in 60 seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
It taps me into what I need to hear for spiritual growth and keeps me on the right path and just feeds my soul.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
This is The Front Porch on Thursday morning.
And good morning to you. Thanks for listening to it. And by the way, let us remind, that is, to The Front Porch, and this reminder that historically we used to say at the end of every Front Porch broadcast that if you'd like a CD of this broadcast, well, that day has come and gone.
Mm-hmm.
But what we do offer is by going to missionary.radio, click at the top where it reads podcasts, and you will find all of the episodes. Maybe not today's real quickly, but Andrew Cummins is keeping that posted for us. And so you also can get these podcasts wherever you go to get your podcasts.
There you go.
And so
that's like what? Spotify?
I don't know. Wherever you go.
All those different ones. Okay.
And you can go through our app. And by the way, you cannot get our app unless you type in these two words.
What is that?
Those are.
Is it? Hold on a second. Is it Missionary Radio?
You win.
Ding, ding, ding.
You win, Captain.
Good. I'm glad I'm learning something.
And that's how it works. And so, again, to listen to the episodes of the Front Porch, and also to listen to Ministry Spotlight, and soon we'll have others. But right now, that is what's available to you. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, where would you find that? Pay attention while I'm talking.
Missionary Radio.
Missionary.radio.
Missionary.radio, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the website.
And that's right. Missionary.radio. Mm-hmm.
No .com, no .net.
Now he's paying attention.
But it's Missionary.radio.
That's correct. And yep. It reads at the top, podcast. Mm-hmm.
Podcast.
All right. We're talking about the will of God today. And I want to talk about the nature of God's will. We talked about God's sovereign will, God's moral will, and God's personal will. Now, here's the one everyone, and you probably said, he's going to tell us something shocking that's going to be brand new. Actually not. How to discern God's will. First of all, through the Word.
Mm-hmm.
Don't consult your horoscope. Don't consult a wizard. Don't consult a psychic. They cannot help you. They'll just take your money and run.
What about one of them little cookies with the fortune in it?
That won't help you either.
No, okay. Just making sure.
And sometimes the cookies aren't even any good.
No.
Okay. If I'm going to have a cookie, I want it dripping in sugar and chocolate chip.
Mm.
All right?
Yeah. Soft and gooey.
And if I'm going to really not do well with my diet, I want it dyed and fried.
There you go.
Is that wrong? Yes. And now the nutritionists are calling me.
Yeah,
please don't call me.
Oh, they're just like, what's he talking about?
Please don't. If you want to talk to somebody, call Brian.
Yeah, call me.
He'll take all calls related.
That's it.
Because sometimes I say things and people say, I'm kidding, and then they'll get all worked up over it. Do not find you something else to get worked up over. That was a joke.
Yeah. I had a good friend years ago told the doctor, said, now you realize you need to quit eating your country ham and all that stuff. And he said, listen here, doc. He said, I'm almost 80 years old. And he said, I'm going to continue eating my ham just like I always.
This is not an endorsement. So let me run this disclaimer. But here, the story I'm about to tell, while I was in seminary, over in LaRue County, I lived at a place called Buffalo, and a pastor at a church called Buffalo Baptist, to be precise. But anyway, while I was finishing up my Master of Divinity at Southern Seminary, and there was a fellow that was not a member of our church, but we had 12 people in one of the nursing homes that I visited weekly.
Yeah.
And the kids would go with me. They just loved seeing the kids. They were little tykes back then.
Mm-hmm.
And all the family would just go. We'd just make it a family affair.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's one fellow that's 99 years old that was in the room with one of our members.
Yeah.
And I was there visiting Mr. Mears, and I went over this fellow. And I kept – and I'd been told he wasn't a Christian. And so I would share with him and just praying to be saved.
Yeah.
Well, one day – he said, come over here, preacher. I want to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, this is it. He reached over to his counter and he pulled up a pack of cigarettes. He said, if I don't stop smoking these one of these days, it's going to kill me. He's 99.
I'm
not endorsing smoking.
No.
That's just a story.
That's a story. Yeah. I got you, though. That's I'm 99.
Yeah.
Probably been doing it all his life.
Yep.
Yeah.
99. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
How to discern God's will. See, we got off subject.
Yeah.
You're supposed to quit chasing rabbits on the front porch.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
Forgive me.
First of all, through God's word.
Mm-hmm.
We say this through the pledge to the Bible during Vacation Bible School, but it's Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The word of God, which is the authoritative, inspired word of God. I promise you, that's where you're going to get a word from the Lord from.
Mm-hmm.
Not somebody walking to you. Now, God told me. I usually say when someone says, God told me, I say, well, he hasn't told me.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a different connection to God than I do.
That's right.
Now, that doesn't rule out using people. But his will, I will tell you, never. That's the reason why I kept on using that illustration to have probably lost some listeners over this live-in stuff.
Yeah.
But God's will never. God is not going to lead you get an abortion. No. God is not going to lead you to divorce your husband or wife. And I know that's a complicated issue. But I will just say to this, God will never contradict his word. If it violates his word, it's not his will. How's that?
There you go.
Another way to find out God's will certainly is through prayer. In Philippians 4, 6, and 7, those verses we know, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The hardest prayer that Jesus prayed is he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane right before his crucifixion. Now, he had been to there many times, Mount of Olives, into that garden to pray. He's praying, and Scripture says he prays so hard. He's all God and all human. But his human side, the Scripture says, with sweat drops of blood. And medical folks have explained that. And that is some intensity. But he prayed something that's the hardest prayer to pray sometimes, because we'd really pray that God might want us to do something we don't want to. Is this. Now, did he want to go to the cross? Humanly speaking, no one wants to endure that pain.
No.
But he prayed this, not my will, but yours be done. There's the prayer right there.
That's it.
God, let it be. So prayer aligns our hearts with God's desires. And I have found out, I've been asked many times, was it hard for you to take your family and go to Honduras? It's the easiest thing I've ever done in my life.
Yeah.
Because there's other things right now that I'm facing at my age that are more difficult than that. So I'm praying that same prayer, God, not my will, but yours be done. That's the third way, and this is definitely true, through the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14, that's just, I'm just using, there's so many verses, I just use this one. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. The sons and daughters of God understand the voice of the Lord. The sheep hear his voice and know him, the Scripture says. He convicts, he guides, he confirms God's direction. So not, God is not going to use you or guide you into something that's fleshly. He's going to guide you by the Spirit. In other words, another way to know his will is through godly counsel. Proverbs 11:14, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Listen to mature believers. That's what I do. And that is the emphasis, not mature believers, not fleshly believers,
God-fearing
believers. Mature believers can often see things we miss when emotions cloud our judgment, by the way, Brian. And another one is through circumstances and peace. Blackaby talks about that in Experiencing God. All of these he does. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Don't just go by just peace, but let the peace rule. God often confirms his will with open or closed doors, accompanied by peace in our hearts. Let me just give you a couple illustrations here. Abraham, in according to the Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews 11:8, stepped out not knowing where he was going. Can you imagine? He said, okay, let's go. Wow. Jonah, he resisted God's will but learned obedience through discipline. Did he ever? And Jesus perfectly did the Father's will, because he said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. God's will is not about confusion, but it's about relationship. Don't forget that.
That's right.
He wants us to trust him and walk in his revealed word while listening to his Spirit daily. The safest, most joyful, most fruitful place to be in all the world is God's will.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I suppose it's God's will that I get off this broadcast, isn't it?
It's time to wrap it up.
Get out of here.
Thanks for
having a good day.
Yes. Thanks for listening to The Front Porch, and join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m.